This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. About 15 years ago, the government decided to require manufacturers of packaged foods to list nutritional information on the label. The idea was that more information would help consumers make better choices. The subtext was healthier choices. If you saw how much fat or how many calories there were in, say, ice cream, you might select frozen yogurt instead. Now that thinking may be applied to the fast food industry. Both the House and Senate are debating bills to require chain restaurants to disclose nutritional information on their menus. And again, the subtext is health. Proponents argue that listing the calories, fat, carbohydrate, and sodium content will give consumers a way to make better dietary choices and maybe help fight obesity. Opponents say it does not make sense to ask restaurants to post nutritional information for a cheeseburger with and without tomatoes, onions, bacon, chili, and pickles, or any combination thereof. Later in this program, we'll widen the conversation and ask whether labels actually work. But first, this case in point. Do you think this information would make a difference to you, or would you just order that Big Mac anyway? Join the conversation. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That 800-989-TALK. And the email address is TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now is Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat of Iowa. He sponsored the Senate version of the Menu Education and Labeling Act, otherwise known as NEAL. He's with us from the Senate Recording Studio at the Capitol here in Washington, D.C. And Senator Harkin, welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Well, it's nice to be back, Neil.
As I understand it, your legislation would target chain restaurants with more than 20 outlets and would just specify, you know, not the specials of the day, but the standard menu items.
That's exactly right. This is not something that you'd have to figure up everything for every kind of modification of a sandwich or something. But most of the chain restaurants, as you know, have standardized menus. They have standardized sandwiches and meal entrees, that type of thing. And what our legislation would say is if you have 20 or more of these restaurants, that you should include the calories and the fat and the sodium.
And the impetus for this is better health, right?
It's better health. It's empowering. It's think of it as empowering consumers to make better and more informed choices.
Why just these chain restaurants with more than 20 outlets? Why not everybody?
Well, because, you know, obviously some small mom-and-pop restaurants that are owned, I mean, may not be able to do this, although many do. I've gone to plenty of small restaurants that are privately owned. They aren't part of a chain, and they do list these on the menu, and every time they do, I always thank them for doing so. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to get at the place where so many Americans eat out. So many Americans now are buying fast food. They're going to their fast food neighborhood places. I think the recent data shows about maybe one-third to close to a half, but more like one-third of all the calories consumed by Americans are now consumed in restaurants, mostly fast food restaurants.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to guess that there are more than 20 Ruth's Chris steakhouses across the country. This would apply to them too, wouldn't it?
Oh, it absolutely would apply to them. If they've got more than 20, it would certainly apply to them also.
Okay. Now, how does your bill in the Senate differ from the version that's in the House?
Basically, it's the same, a couple of minor things, but basically it's the same, Neil. Mm-hmm. Basically the same bill.
Okay. What's the opposition?
Well, I don't know. I guess the National Restaurant Association is not all that happy with the bill, and they've raised some objections to it. But
we'll be hearing from them in a minute, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, they can speak for themselves then, but I've worked with them, and I've worked with the McDonald's Corporation, and quite frankly, some of these have taken good steps in their own. McDonald's, for example, does print out in all the McDonald's stores on the wall, they will list these items and their calorie and fat and sodium contents. So some of these have already taken some steps already to try to inform consumers.
Well, if they're doing that already, why don't you just declare victory and go home? What's the need for a law?
Well, the need is to get it on the menu. And it's a very simple thing. We're only asking for three things: fat, calorie, and sodium. Many Americans now are restricted in sodium, but they really don't know how much is in a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And also calorie and fat. So they can look at the menu and sort of, as they scan it, sort of start to make choices about whether they want to consume that many calories or not. Or maybe they want to order something else that maybe is less calories, less fat, that type of thing. When you have it posted on a board in the restaurant, most people, you know, they don't know where it is. They don't take a look at it, and you'd have to take time out to go see it. But if it's sort of on the menu, then it's right there in front of you, and then you can start to make that choice.
I wanted to bring up a couple of email questions there to you. They're not quite on exact point, but they're opportunity to talk to a senator, so I don't want to deny them. This from Beth in Indianapolis. As a vegetarian, I'd like to see vegetarian labels on food at the grocery. Having lived in England, seeing the suitable for vegetarian label on foods was a big help when I was shopping. Now that I'm back in the U.S., I have to read all the ingredients on everything I buy, and even then it's not always clear if certain listed ingredients are suitable for me. And this another one from Shannon Olson in Ithaca, New York. I read labels every time I go shopping, but I often wonder, who are these percentage daily values recommended for? Where do they come up with a 2,000 calorie diet? I'm a woman, 5'3" tall. A Big Mac just isn't the same for me as it is for my 6-foot tall brother. Thanks very much. So, I'm not sure what you can do about those and whether that's part of this legislation.
Well, both the first one, our ideas about what ought to be on a label are changing a lot in terms now. We're getting more and more organic labeling, for example, so consumers can make that choice. Vegetarian, I see some of those labels appearing now, of course. I think the idea is that more and more consumers want that information. I remember, Neil, in your introduction, you were talking about when we passed the labeling for packaged things in grocery stores.
I remember that debate.
Back
in the 80s, yeah.
Oh, I was here. I remember it very well, and all the arguments, how bad it was going to be and confusing it would be, and no one would read them. And, you know, the fact is when they first started appearing, not too many people paid attention. But right now, you go to the grocery store, I challenge anyone, go there and look, watch people as they shop and they pick up packages. They will read those labels now. And I think, we've had some data, some statistics that one out of every two grocery shoppers now will read the label and make a decision on what to buy based on what's on that label. Well, so it takes a while. It takes education. It takes a while to get to that point.
We're going to be talking the broader issue of whether labeling works later in the program, but let's go now to Stephen Anderson, President and CEO of the National Restaurant Association. He's with us by phone from New York City, and it's good of you to join us today.
Hey, Neil, how are you today?
Very well, thanks. Now, what are your concerns about Senator Harkin's legislation?
Well, the National Restaurant Association doesn't want to minimize the fact that there are some people that do have issues with food. There has been an increased attention on rising obesity rates and people having issues with their weight. Three out of five of the books on the New York Times bestseller list are diet books. But as the senator has pointed out, the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act changed the food label in the retail grocery store, and at that point, Congress looked at requiring restaurant foods to bear the same labels. It was determined by Congress at that point not to be practical, and it's even less practical now. 70% of the meals that are ordered in restaurants are customized. And let me give you an example. A restaurant chain, per the definition of the senator in his bill, that would be required by these mandates. Say you went into one of those restaurants and you wanted to order a sandwich and you had five choices to pick between breads and meats and condiments and sauces, and the type of bread to put on that sandwich.
You would have
120 different ways to label that. If you have 15 items, say you go into a chain and order a Subway sandwich, 15 different items to pick from, you have 1.3 trillion possible ways that you would need to label that sandwich under the senator's bill.
But as Senator Harkin told us before, isn't there enough uniformity in most fast foods to come up with a reasonable percent, you know, a reasonable estimate?
Well, I think you're talking fast foods, those large chain restaurants. Actually, fast foods in this country are defined where you pay before you eat, and the average check is $8 and below per person. So it would include many of those delis that are popping up. Sandwiches are the sandwich chains are the hottest growing portion of the business. And you were right in your question to the senator. It would include the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the Buca di Beppo's, the Morton's, that are all chains, and they don't have a standardized menu. So we are all in favor of moderation and balance in diet and physical activity to get to the heart of this issue. And I want to commend the Senate for the Senate Health, Education, and Labor and Pension Committee looked at this issue and reported out a bill that would put an increased focus on education. I think we've gotten away from the education part of the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act. And I want to be sure to point out that 76% of all meals are eaten at home and not in restaurants. And as the senator has pointed out, we've been labeling those food items for the last 13 years, and we still have increased obesity rates. So I don't think menu labeling is the panacea that many think it is.
Well, let's get a listener involved. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email is TOTN@NPR.org. And Marty's on the line with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hello. Thank you so much for addressing this topic today.
Sure.
I am gluten intolerant, and I have a severe dairy allergy. And thank goodness for the labels at restaurants, I mean at stores, because I couldn't eat prepackaged foods at all if I couldn't read them. But I'm really debilitated because I cannot go into most restaurants and pick something off the menu because most waiters don't know what's in the sauces, and I can't eat out most of the time. And I think it would be so beneficial to me, and I'd be able to interact socially if these were on the menus.
Steven Anderson?
Vital part.
Yeah, the restaurant industry is playing an increased role in this whole issue of allergies. As a matter of fact, we're partnering with some folks that we generally don't partner with, especially on menu labeling, like the Center for Science and the Public Interest. But we do find that 95% of Americans are comfortable when they go into a restaurant. But I think, you know, as we're beginning to the caller's point, discovering more and more about the causes of allergies and reactions, restaurants are responding accordingly. And I think your point is very well taken. There's no industry that has its finger on the pulse as to what the American people need and want in their diet than the restaurants. We see millions of people every day. And I think your caller's point is a good one, and I think you're going to be seeing increased activity in the restaurant industry on that issue.
And to be fair, Senator Harkin, your bill would not require the information that Marty was asking about.
No, it wouldn't, although she makes a very good point. And these are things that restaurants could do. I mean,
sure.
This whole thing is evolving, and I think we're going to see more and more restaurants and information. But I do have to say one thing. If I go into an Applebee's in Washington, or if I go to an Applebee's in Iowa, or I go into an Applebee's in Colorado, the menu is basically the same. And all we're asking for is to list under those standardized, even a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, which I patronize, they have the same menu, basically. In different parts. And we're just asking that you list the calories, fat, and sodium for each of those items. Now, if I want to order blue cheese dressing and a whole bunch of other stuff, well, that you don't have to list that. But we want at least the basic items for people to know what they're getting.
Okay. Marty, thanks very much for the call. And
Can I ask one more question of the senator?
If you could keep it very quick.
Okay. What are there any actions being taken right now for the gluten intolerance? I heard that there was some stuff being considered to having that enforced to be put on labels. It's a growing problem.
Senator Harkin?
Not that I'm aware of right now. I'm sorry. I do not know about that. I mean, I know about the gluten intolerance issue, but I don't know of any actions being taken here in that regard.
Let's get another caller in. This is Glenn, who's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to state that I think it's ridiculous that the federal government's getting involved in this. As a chef, I consider myself someone who performs a duty to bring something to someone's mouth, but also as an artist. And for me, if I was working at the Palm Restaurant, which has more than 20 locations, does it mean that I have to send out my special to a scientist to get it broken down? It's ridiculous. It's just one more step in the process of having the federal government try and control us. I agree with the labels in grocery stores because your captive audience and the fact that things are made the same every single day, but it's just ridiculous. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
And Glenn, you're going to have to wait till after the break, too, because we've got to cut away, but Senator Harkin will give you a chance to respond to that after a short break. We're discussing a new bill that would require restaurant chains to provide nutritional information on their menu, numbers of fat, calorie, and sodium content. Do you read labels? Do labels make a difference in the food choices that you make? We're going to take more of your calls after a break. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And before we move on to the broader question of do labels work, do you read them, are they important to you, we wanted to answer the question raised by Chef Glenn just before the break. And Stephen Anderson of the National Restaurant Association talking about this proposed legislation that would require nutritional information in restaurants. The chef said that he thought this was absurd.
Well, he's absolutely right. It would be very expensive to implement as well, and not practical, as I pointed out earlier. You know, there's been no industry that has been harder in the last 3 years, particularly with the hospitality industry being hit as a result of 9/11, and then the slowdown in the economy, and then the restaurant industry. And we're finally getting back in shape. We're actually adding jobs to the economy. There are 11.7 million people that work in this industry. And I just don't think that this approach is appropriate. There are other ways to get to the obesity issue. The University of North Carolina recently completed a study that said that obesity rates have increased 10% in the last 20 years. The amount of physical activity that we're getting as Americans has decreased 13%. And interestingly enough, the amount of calories a typical American has consumed in the last 20 years has increased about 1%. And if C. Everett Koop is right, the renowned former Surgeon General, that this is about calories in and calories out, it really is a function of our more sedentary society as Americans, and not as far as food consumption. So I think we can do a lot to address this issue, and there are a lot of people that are involved, and we're one of the stakeholders, as the senator is, on getting to this obesity issue. But a bill like this really is going to do great harm to the restaurant industry. And, you know, there's not a harder working group of people.
They're wonderful people, but we're pressed for time, and I wanted to get a response from Senator Harkin to the point that Chef Glenn was making earlier.
Well, first, to the point of what Chef Glenn said, our bill does not require specials. It does not apply to customized orders, nor to any daily specials, which are not standard menu items. Okay, so let's clear that up right away. So it's just the standard menu items, not the special items.
Right.
No. And Mr. Anderson makes a good point. We are becoming more sedentary. I'm all for getting kids more exercise in school, and we got some things we're hoping to do that. But we're not forcing anyone. According to Chef Glenn, he said we're imposing the federal government. Actually, we want to empower people, give people information. For example, you talk about, as Mr. Anderson said, about more exercise. You know, 1/4 pounder with cheese, an extra value meal, is 1,550 calories. That would require more than 2 hours of running just to run that off. A 20-ounce Coke, 250 calories, is 50 minutes of biking. So, yes, you can say we need to do more activity. That's true. But the fact is, and I will add one other thing. I think Mr. Anderson is a little bit off. 65% of Americans are obese or overweight. It's a threefold increase since the 1980s. And in children, 15% of kids are overweight, a threefold increase just since the 1980s. It has become, it's now overtaken smoking as the single biggest cost in our healthcare system today.
And we would refer listeners who are interested to our previous series on obesity that they might want to go back and listen to. But I wanted to thank both of you very much. Stephen Anderson, President and CEO of the National Restaurant Association, was with us by phone from New York City. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil. And as a former Iowan, it's always great to talk to the senator.
Well, Senator Harkin would urge you to move back in time to vote for him the next time around. So, Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat from Iowa, thanks very much.
Thank you both.
He sponsored the Menu Education and Labeling Act in the Senate. He was with us from the Senate recording studio at the Capitol here in Washington, D.C. We may not be able to do it at fast food restaurants yet, but we have had the luxury of reading labels on packaged foods for quite a while now. While having the choice to read the labels may feel good, how many of us actually use them? Julie Caswell joins us now. She's a professor of resource economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she looked at how labeling on food products affected the behavior of suppliers. She's with us from her office in Amherst, Massachusetts, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
What exactly did people expect from labeling, and how has it affected suppliers of packaged foods?
Well, the expectation was that if you improved information for consumers, that they could more easily make choices of nutritious foods. That was the main part.
Mm-hmm.
And then a secondary part of it was the expectation that if that information got better and more easily accessible, that food companies would actually be have an incentive to change what they were producing and put on the market more nutritious foods, for example, lower fat or lower sodium foods onto the market.
And has it worked?
Well, what we found in our research in the 1990s was that that latter part of it didn't really happen. There was a lot of introductions of more nutritious foods, but there was a lot of exits of those foods as well. So average nutritional quality didn't move much.
So was that a perception by the producers of this food that people didn't read these labels and basically didn't care?
Well, I think it does reflect demand in the market, and it reflects the point that the information being available, I don't think, moved the market as much as would have been than people expected it would. But what did happen under the Nutrition and Labeling and Education Act was that I think we laid a basis for better consumer choices, because the amount of information available improved dramatically with the mandatory nutrition facts part of the label. And we also cleaned up the use of voluntary claims, which are the low-fat, low-sodium types of claims, and made sure that when a product made that claim, it was really qualified for it.
And I guess the next next battleground for those kinds of things is something organic, is something vegan, for example, though those are still pretty vague labels.
Yes, yeah. And those are parts of the market where voluntary labeling may be the answer, because only a small portion of the population might be interested in those specific claims. Something like nutrition labeling on packaged foods and restaurant foods is something that is relevant to every single person and is probably a better area for mandatory labeling requirements.
Let's get a caller in. This is Nancy, who's with us from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm really glad that you have this going on the air, because I'm one of those people that stands in line, stands in the aisles in grocery stores and reads labels. I am hypothyroid. I found out lately that I'm hypertensive. I have to be real careful about what I eat. And I am definitely going to be happy when the restaurants start doing this, because at this point, because I'm well-read about nutrition, I have a tendency to know what I can eat and what I can't eat in restaurants.
Well, if again, we're talking about labeling in general here, but on the restaurant thing, would just fat, sodium, and calories, would that be enough to help you?
I believe so, because my main thing is the fat. I try to really regulate how much fat intake I have. The sodium I'm not so concerned about, because I don't use sodium. I don't use salt at all when I cook, and I still have a tendency toward hypertension, so it's more medication that I have to worry about.
But every single person and is probably a better area for mandatory labeling requirements.
Let's get a caller in. This is Nancy, who's with us from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm really glad that you have this going on the air, because I'm one of those people that stands in line, stands in the aisles in grocery stores and reads labels. I am hypothyroid. I found out lately that I'm hypertensive. I have to be real careful about what I eat. And I am definitely going to be happy when the restaurants start doing this, because at this point, because I'm well-read about nutrition, I have a tendency to know what I can eat and what I can't eat in restaurants.
Well, if again, we're talking about labeling in general here, but on the restaurant thing, would just fat, sodium, and calories, would that be enough to help you?
I believe so, because my main thing is the fat. I try to really regulate how much fat intake I have. The sodium I'm not so concerned about, because I don't use sodium. I don't use salt at all when I cook, and I still have a tendency toward hypertension, so it's more medication that I have to worry about. But the fat part of it, and this is a point that I want to make, is that I think the people that are going to be happy about this whole situation are the people who are more educated, who know more about nutrition, who are more likely to read and read everything.
Thank you very much for that, Nancy.
Sure.
We appreciate it. Julie Caswell, clearly there is a class of consumer like Nancy who, for whom this information is vital.
Yes, and some people do use it much more intensively than others. And I think the point for the future and when we're addressing obesity and other health issues is that if we have that information base in place, then you can add education that would sensitize other people to use that information as well. If the information is missing, as it is pretty much totally in the restaurant industry, then the base for making better decisions isn't there.
Julie Caswell, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Julie Caswell, a professor of resource economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She spoke with us from her office in Amherst, Massachusetts, basically about the supply side of this equation. Joining us now is someone who's looked at the consumer side of labeling. Rudy Naga is a professor in the Department of Agricultural Economics at Texas A&M University. He's with us from his office in College Station, Texas. And Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So you've looked at whether labels make a difference in the consumer's diet. How did you go about that?
We used a comprehensive data set from USDA, which included information about consumers' nutrient intakes. And so we calculated the effect of label use on specific nutrient intakes and also on the overall quality of the diet of the consumers.